welcome to the Pixels Podcast, your weekly video game roundup. My name is Sophia Wood, and with me today is Chris Travis.
Hello, Sophia.
What's up?
Not much. Right now, I am getting ready for Easter, but I figured this is a fun way to start the morning, do a little pod. How about you?
Same, just I got a lot of chocolate this morning.
I got a lot of candy. I don't eat, like, I love chocolate, but I love chocolate in, like, desserts, so, like, cake.
God, you're so American.
Oh, hey, I love a chocolate. It's just, if I'm eating pure chocolate, I don't eat too much in quantity.
So what candy did you get?
I did get a chocolate egg with the sour gummy worms in them.
That sounds really good.
I love that. I'm going to try that later. And I have, like, a lot of Sour Patch Kids, Starbursts, and Skittles.
I hate all of those.
Well, they all hate you. I don't know what to tell you.
That's not the true spirit of Easter, I don't think.
What, did you get, like, a Cadbury egg?
Heck yeah, I did.
I don't like Cadbury eggs. They're too sweet. Mm. Those are too sweet.
So American. I love some, like, semi-sweet dark chocolate. That's the good stuff. Got some semi-sweet chocolate chips.
Well, speaking of sweet, we have a lot of sweet news, including a PS5 controller reveal to talk about today. Isn't that exciting, Sophia?
Okay, so the thing is, you just stole my segue, because I was going to segue into Cooking Mama with the sweet talk, and you just completely stole that for something that's not even on the list until, like, number three.
Well, I figured it's big enough to talk to be my first story. One. Yeah.
Yeah, but you just stole my segue. That was rude of you.
Oh, wait, I don't know what to tell you. We are both great journalists that thought of a segue, and one of us got there before the other.
Okay, considering you just stole the segue, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure, why not? Okay, so, Sophia, how Chris. Are we feeling about this new PlayStation reveal? Well, PlayStation controller reveal.
Neutral. I'm going to go with neutral. Maybe you can change my mind, but for now, I'm neutral.
Okay, so here's my thing. First off, PlayStation likes being petty as hell because they release this news right before an inside Xbox, and I find that shady, but it's business, so I also have to applaud them for that. What I am going to say is they did a good job at this too, because it made me forget there was an inside Xbox, and I didn't remember until, like, a day or two later.
No, I'm going to be honest. I had it saved on my phone. Me and my dad were going to watch it, and then we both completely forgot, so I watched it super late. And I'm going to be honest, I was kind of distracted. I was, like, looking up all the PS5 stuff, and yeah, they did it well. They cheated, but they did it well.
Yeah, I applaud them. And you know what? Enough on just the reveal itself. Let's talk about the controller. So, controller is no longer a DualShock. It's not the DualShock 5. It is now the DualSense, which I guess we'll find out more why it's called the DualSense. Oh, there's been rumors about how it could, like, sense your heart rate and stuff like that, but, like, we have no details on what this controller actually does. Then instead of a share button, it is now replaced with a create button, which PlayStation said that they will talk about more in the future.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
rebranding, I guess.
Yeah, I want to know more about that. What do you think is going to be different about this create button?
I don't know. They might be going more streaming route, that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I mean, the PlayStation and Xbox already stream, though. I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking there's going to be, like, a very light sense of video clip editing in the PlayStation, so you could edit, like, your best clips from your gameplay and share it on social media if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds doable. That sounds probable.
Doable.
Well, I thought maybe, like, that way, but for streaming, like, edit the stream somehow. But I guess social media makes more sense.
Yeah, that's my thought. Other than that, it really, all the other details we got about it are, like, basic things that we figured. There is going to still be a headset They'll still be at headphone jack. Rechargeable batteries, so already better than Xbox One X. Series X, my fault.
That's up to opinion, as we covered last week.
I know. I'm messing with you. Oh, and it's going to be charging via USB Type-C, which is nice. That's one less controller you need to... I mean, one less wire you need to have lying around the house. So I like that. There's no information if it has, like, a motion control situation. There's haptic feedback, which is now a step up from the whatever the vibration is currently in the PS4 controller. But yeah, it's very... What do you think of the design?
I like it, actually. I think it's kind of futuristic. You know, it looks like something that I would see in a movie about the future, but they got it a lot wrong. Where, like, it's kind of utopia, but secretly the government's ruling the world, that kind of thing.
Oh. Okay. Well, I like it. Here's my thing. It looks a lot like an Xbox One X controller now, though.
See, like, I wasn't going to say anything, but you did call them out on it. And I knew you would. I knew you'd take up that mantle.
Yeah, so it's a lot thicker, and it looks like it's shaped to your hands like an Xbox controller is. It's basically if a PS4 controller and an Xbox One controller had a baby.
Do you think they're slowly going to, like, inch closer to the Xbox controllers over time?
How so? You think, like, they're going to have the inverted...
Yeah, and then, like, next year is going to be closer than that, and then they're going to come out with, like, a special controller that's literally an Xbox controller, but they're going to be, like, special X PS5 controller you can get for $500, that sort of thing.
I think they're going to go as close as they can without upsetting a group of people. Because some people do like the fact that the what are they called? The thumbsticks are at the bottom.
I like Xbox controllers a lot more.
I like the inverted thumbsticks, yeah.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before, though, where it's just easier to hold, and I don't get confused. But I know that sounds bad. Like, I don't get confused about, I guess, what thumbstick to use. Does that make sense? Like, in my head, they're more distinct because they're inverted.
I don't know about that. Like,
maybe that's just
kind of
me.
Common. Like, I think for me, and this is not me saying something's wrong with you, I just, like, I would think it's common sense that left would be movement, right would be camera, no matter what.
Yeah, but it helps because they're inverted. It helps me. Maybe I think it's probably because I don't use the PlayStation controllers a lot that I just find it more difficult.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. I definitely will say I prefer an Xbox controller over a PlayStation controller. That being said, I've noticed that because I'm playing Final Fantasy VII right now, and that's a PlayStation exclusive, that I get really messed up whenever I switch from the two controllers. Like, I click buttons by accident because I think, like, this should be this button on this controller, and this is not where it's located, or... Like, I don't know. It throws me for a loop whenever I switch between the two.
I agree, because I've been switching between Animal Crossing on the Switch and then games on the Xbox, and I keep pressing the wrong buttons.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. I keep pressing B when I mean the other one, and it's all this and that. It's the most annoying thing. Can we all please just agree on a standard button system? It's not that hard. You don't need to be special. Please.
Yeah, it throws me for a loop each time. And I think that's why people always have, like, a console they prefer over the other, because when you're playing on a console for so long, you get used to the button layout for that.
I get, yeah, it is branding, right? Because if you're used to how the PlayStation's laid out, you don't want to switch to an Xbox. And the same thing, I don't like switching to PlayStation because I forget how the buttons are laid out. But
yeah,
please,
no.
I get it. But please, for everybody's sanity... Especially with now the Switch is all different. I'm sure there's going to be something new next year that's crazy. They're going to have, like, the Y button where the A button is or something like that. But please. They're going to... it's so annoying. It's just so annoying.
All right. Well, hopping off of the controller topic and going into something I'm more curious about. What do you think this means for the console itself? Do you think the console is going to be white?
I hate
dirty white plastic, and it's gonna drive me insane if the whole console is white and it gets dirty.
What was it? Xbox 360, were they white? Because they had the white controllers, and the console was white too, right?
There was a white model, yes.
I think that's the one I had, and it looked, I think we still have it, disgusting.
Yeah.
Just where there's dirt on it, and it gets dusty. I mean, I'm going to be honest, my Xbox right now, it's dusty as heck. But you don't see it, so it's fine.
Yeah.
If it's white, you see everything. You're going to clean it every other day. It just looks gross. So if the PlayStation is smelling white, that's not a good decision.
Well, unless you're me and you store it in, like, the closet, because I wire my consoles through the wall in the closet and it goes to the back of my TV. So I will never have to see it if it's white.
But there's still dust in your closet.
Oh, yeah, there will be. And the occasional time when I do decide to clean out my closet and I see it, I'm going to be like, oh, crap, I got to clean this thing. But it won't be as bad as sitting in front of the TV.
Can you just send me a picture of your dusty console that you haven't cleaned in 5 years?
Well, no, they're not that dusty right now because I've been moving them around from upstairs to downstairs because I'm trying to like leave my room more often during this quarantine. You know?
Well, that's good. I've just been in my room.
Yeah, no, I've been moving I attempted to play Persona 5 downstairs in my living room. But it just was not working because everyone was so goddamn loud.
Mm.
And I didn't have the patience. So I was like, I'm just going to play this in my room. And then I brought it back up to my room and then I just never continued playing it. So I played Persona 5 maybe like twice. And now Persona 5 Royal came out. And now I'm like, do I even bother continue playing this? Because now that the continuation and the DLC or whatever you want to consider it is now in this newer version and you cannot buy it separately. You can't buy like DLC for the first version. Yeah,
buy the new version then.
Yeah, I'll think about it. Anyway, I'm gonna pass it back over to you because we kind of just diverged from what we were talking about.
So Chris, do you remember how we were talking about Cooking Mama last week?
Oh yeah, I do.
Okay, so I looked more into it and I heard a lot of rumors cryptocurrency and overheating batteries. At one point, I read about people talking about how if it was docked, it exploded or something like the battery. It was crazy. I was like, that does not sound true. So I looked into it more and it's actually removed because of a legal battle. Much more boring. Just Planet Entertainment wanted it off because it wasn't ready or they didn't think the game was ready. And then the publisher is going to sue Office Create for loss of earnings. So pretty much we might never see Cooking Mama. And it's because of a lot of legal junk that we don't really need to get into. Just our dreams are crushed.
Can I tell you one thing to include in the story? And
please.
Okay, so I was listening to an IGN podcast and they brought this thing up as well, and the one thing that drove me crazy is that the owners of the IP obviously had nothing to do with this this new Cookie Mama game. And basically there was like a whole big interview, quote unquote, with the publisher, and they were talking about how like the legal battles and stuff like that. And then there were like details in there that sounded crazy. And then later on, the IP owner was like, yeah, no, that interview's fake.
Oh, and there's just a whole fake interview going around?
Well, not necessarily fake. Like that, and like there was an interview. It's just that person was not supposed to be interviewed. And that information apparently wasn't true that they said in the interview. So now this hole just keeps getting dug deeper and deeper. And I just can't wait to find out actually word for word what happened in like a couple months when this settles down.
It's crazy where I did not think that Cooking Mama was going to be the troublesome game that we were going to get in 2020.
It's kind of great. I'm living for it, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't wait. And I could not find much, but I can't wait in a couple months when things get revealed. I bet there's going to be a lot of drama going around.
Yeah, I for one am going to relish in hearing more of this information.
But I'm going to miss getting a new Cooking Mama game.
Yeah, I'm going to say. I heard it wasn't that good, though.
Well, I mean, if they didn't even want to release it, it was so bad, it probably wasn't going to do great.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll be able to find my old Nintendo one.
Yeah, you got to play that for sure. Well, speaking of Nintendo, I do have another story here that's kind of exciting, but kind of confusing to me at the same time. And I got this article from Engadget, and it's written by Mark DeAngelis. Basically, Nintendo's now doing a program where you could design your own Joy-Con combination before you purchase your Switch.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, so this is launching in Japan. And I actually, he says Nintendo has been known for colorful hardware since they launched the Play It Loud series of Game Boy in 1995. The Switch is no exception. This console's Joy-Cons, blah, yada, yada, yada. It seems like Nintendo has played with Switch custom Joy-Con bundles before, but it looks like this is the first time that you can get one of the new versions of the Switch with the improved battery. So I pulled up the Japanese site. Everything is in Japanese, obviously, but it's pretty cool. You can, like, see the front, the back, just the Joy-Con, the Switch on the Joy-Con, and you could literally just choose any color, and I wish we had this service because I would love some mixed matched.
I find it really weird that they're offering this when you can't even get regular.
That's where I found weird at the same time. So, yes, this is now coming up in a time where Nintendo Switch hardware is impossible to get your hands on. Like, my sister's been dying for a Nintendo Switch, and we've been looking every once in a while to see if they come back in stock, and they're just nowhere. And Nintendo seems to not be restocking anytime soon. So I'm wondering what this, like, and again, I can't read the site that well, but I'm wondering what more, when will this actually start taking, like, being carried out, or if this is just a concept, I don't know. I'm looking at the site, and it's pretty cool because you get to choose the Joy-Con. You get to choose the color of the Joy-Con straps as well. And then if you scroll down, they actually give you the option to purchase an SD card with the Switch already. So they're giving you that type of customization, which I think is cool because you can get anywhere from like a 32 gig micro SD card to a 256 gig one, which I think is cool. And then the third step is I think you get to choose if you get a game already downloaded into the system or if you get the physical copy. That I cannot tell because it's all in another language. But that's pretty cool because you can just do this shopping all at once and get it all in the same purchase. And then on top of that, they obviously have to shove down like Nintendo Switch Online and like accessories and stuff. So if you could literally, in theory, do all the Switch shopping you want in one purchase, which is kind of cool.
That is cool, but again, regular Switches aren't even available right now, so do they expect people to do this instead? Are they just going to release it when they can in like 2 months?
Well, you got to keep in mind that this is only in Japan right now, so they're probably getting the first batch of Switches anyway when they're ready. So this might be like an option for them once they come out or restock. I think that's why we don't have a version of this, is because there's literally so much trouble shipping Switches overseas right now that they're probably, if we get one, we're probably not going to get it for a while.
Yeah, I don't see this coming anytime, probably in this year.
Yeah, to this area. But yeah, no. I think it's a cool concept. I wish this was something they had from the start, because I got the gray Joy-Cons at first, and then I bought the colored ones, the basic colored ones that come with the blue and red Switch. But now I kind of want different colored Joy-Cons again.
Speaking about new Nintendo Switch games, Streets of Rage 4 had a new reveal on the 8th. A new trailer was released showing 12 unlockable characters from the past few games. 17 characters in total with the 5 new characters.
Uh-huh.
And each character comes with their own unique moves and abilities, depending on what version of the past games they're from. There's also a switchable soundtrack, so you can play Streets of Rage soundtracks from 1 and 2 on 4 while you're playing, which is really cool. It's like all nostalgic.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's available on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch, along with Xbox Game Pass, so you know I'm playing that when that comes out. The price is confirmed to be $24.99 for digital, and for physical copies, they're selling on limitedrungames.com, and their prices are between $34.99 and $59.99, depending on which version you pre-order. So far, the leak date is for 23rd of April, but there's been no confirmation, but we can assume it's probably around there, I think.
That's crazy.
Like, yeah, I can't wait for this to come out. Yeah, it looks really good.
So many, like, good things happening in gaming, even though so many bad things are happening in the world.
I do, because so far we're getting all of the stuff that was already going to be released. But I do think in a few months we're going to see a lot of stalls when things can't be finished.
Oh, yes. Did you also hear that Cyberpunk has confirmed that they are not delaying this game again? So that's
nice. I have. That's good. But I guess we'll see how that looks at the end.
Yeah. So, Sophia, since we seem to be on a kick for Nintendo news as well, I have a news article here about Pokemon. And it's pretty interesting. It's possible now to get banned from just pulling out of an online battle, like turning off your system or forcing quit like the game while you're battling if you're losing. So
pretty much I'm not allowed to cheat anymore.
I mean, it wasn't really cheating. It was more like you were effing yourselves both over because neither of you are getting experience. Yeah, so if you're one of those people who like to see that you're losing and then just quit the game so you don't have to sit through the rest of the match, you're going to be banned. Which I... What?
I feel like if I played Pokemon, I would 100% do that. Because, you know, what's the point of keeping it going? I'm not a sore loser. It's not because I don't want to lose. It's just, it would take a long time to play a game that you have no point in playing. It's such a commitment. It sounds boring.
Yeah, but if you continue playing, even if you lose, your Pokemon gain experience throughout the battle. And on top of it, what?
It just sounds boring.
Well, you just don't like Pokemon, so you don't understand it.
No, but in terms of other games, this makes me sound like such a sore loser.
And yeah, you sound horrible. You sound horrible.
What is the point? Because I'm sitting here playing through a match I have no reason to be playing through. Because I just think of all the times where, you know, when you're playing an RPG or something and you realize, like, halfway through the fight, I've messed up at some point. My health is super low. This boss has, like, 99% of its health. I'm just bored. I'm just going to let it kill me because I'm bored. Because there's no point in me playing. It's like that, except you can't give up halfway through.
Yeah, well, you have to take into consideration that just because you're doing bad, other people are doing good, and you have to be happy for them.
This is why I don't play Pokemon.
Well, this is a lot of games, Sophia. I hate to break it to you. Also, just for the record, this thing has been implemented in past Pokemon games, so I think it's just good that they keep the trend going, and, you know, people should not be messing things up for other people. And that's what I feel about this.
And I respect that. And I know in my heart that you're right.
Yeah, you better know that in your heart that you're right. That I'm right. I hate myself. I'm the right one. It's been a long night last night and I woke up to just do this podcast. So I apologize.
Okay, check out this segue.
Oh, you just said it. Check out the segue. So it's no longer a segue.
Speaking of being right, Stardew Valley is the right game you should be playing.
I like that.
How was that?
That was gorgeous.
You like it?
Yes.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was
okay. Correct. Anyway, the next Stardew Valley game update will include banana trees.
Whoa!
Thank you.
Whoa! Okay. Oh my god, Sophia! I gotta flip my table. Ah! Banana trees?
Yeah, the banana trees.
Oh, I love banana trees.
Thank you. That's the correct response to anything Stardew Valley does.
I'm so happy for the banana tree lovers.
I'm excited. They had a poll on their Twitter asking for people to vote between banana trees, avocados. Oh, I shouldn't have told you the winner. I should have made you guess the winner. Can we redo this whole bit?
No.
Okay, just pretend you don't know. In a poll between avocados, passion fruit, mangoes, and bananas, which would you vote for?
Avocados.
Oh, that ruined the bit, because that's not who won. Bananas won! Woo!
Oh, I'm sorry. I just love an avocado.
You're such a millennial.
No, it's new to me. I didn't like it growing up. I tried it recently within the last 3 years, and now my life is all about avocados.
I'm about to change your life. Avocado, halloumi, and hot sauce. So good.
What the heck is halloumi?
Halloumi?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Cheese, man.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's so good.
Ooh, I gotta give that a try.
Oh, it's amazing. Anyway.
I digress.
Bananas won, with mangoes taking second place, and then avocados at third place. And then passion fruit came last. It was really disappointing for passion fruit on that one.
Nobody likes passion fruit. Nobody has the passion for passion fruit.
Yeah, I wouldn't vote for passion fruit. I think I'd rather have a mango, honestly. Sell some mangoes.
I agree.
Well, bananas won. They also posted a picture of the future banana tree that you can see on Twitter. So that looks really nice. It has a really nice aesthetic going on. It looks pretty good. It looks like a banana tree.
Wow, I'm so excited to see a banana tree in Stardew Valley.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm excited for the next update. I think because this shows that I think the next update is going to be equally as big as the last update. Because the last update they did changed everything. I think we talked about it on here where it just changed everything. So I'm hoping this one's going to be equally as massive. They're going to be revamping everything, adding some stuff. I really like that they add more character scenes, because I like learning more about the characters and stuff. What do you hope to see?
I don't know. I don't play the game often. I actually just downloaded it like maybe a month ago and played it for like a total of 2 hours because Animal Crossing came out and Final Fantasy and Resident Evil and all this stuff.
Wait, do you have it on PC or Xbox?
I have it on Switch.
Oh, that sucks. I had it on PC. We get to play a farm together, but I'm not buying it again. I have it on Xbox and PC.
Yeah, the Switch is the best because I could play that wherever and tend to a farm. Okay, Sophia. So speaking of games that I can play, why don't we segue to the new Xbox announcements that they talked about at, what is this thing called?
Inside Xbox.
Inside Xbox. There's way too many conferences, Sophia. There's way too many. They have Nintendo Direct, Inside Xbox, and then what's the PlayStation one? State of Play.
I don't even know.
State of Play.
Wow, that's a terrible name. It doesn't even have PlayStation in it.
Well, it says Play, like PlayStation.
Yeah, but that could be anything. That's not. They don't own that word.
I don't know, girl. Just go. Tell me about what they announced. I need to know.
Okay. We're going to have a lot of Xbox news come in. But the first one I wanted to focus on was their new games coming out. One is Grounded, which I'll come to later. Mm-hmm. And the other one is called The Last Campfire, which I don't remember us mentioning before. I don't think we've talked about it.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one.
It's made by the same creators as No Man's Sky, which is, to everybody's shock, the biggest plot twist of 2020, including this virus, is that No Man's Sky is good now. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know. That's why I want to play it.
I want to play it. Anyway, I watched the first few minutes of gameplay of The Last Campfire, and it looks really cute. You play as Ember, who is lost and trying to find their way back home, and there's a narrator who describes what you're doing as you do it.
Oh,
and
fun.
The creators were aiming for a world that looks charming, but still has an undercurrent of darkness, and they definitely achieved that, because it looks really cute and soft, but also it's dark color schemes, and you're like, what is happening? I feel like something's going to jump out, but it's also kind of nice to be in. Ember looks really cute. It looks like, I think, kind of like a sock puppet. I don't know if that's what they're going for. They didn't explain what it was, but it looks kind of like a sock puppet. And the world was really nice. Okay, this is a description from their website. The Last Campfire is an adventure, a story of a lost ember trapped in a puzzling place, searching for meaning and a way home. And that just sounds really... It just sounds like the game we need right now, of finding a way back home. And the aim of the game is to rekindle hope by unlocking light at the end of puzzles. So that looks really cute for Unlocking Hope right now. I feel like that's really accurate for where we are as a species in 2020.
Yeah, I'm looking at the some pictures, some screenshots. The art style is really cute. I like it a lot. It looks kind of cel-shaded, which I can get on board with. It kind of looks like Breath of the Wild a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. It has those soft edges.
Yeah, which I do enjoy aesthetically.
It does. I think it's going to be a big hit, especially for the Switch. This looks like a good game for the Switch. And it is coming out with the Switch. It's going to come out PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC. And this is all happening summer 2020. So not that far away, I don't think.
Oh, I love that. And I'm watching a little video of little Ember walking, and it's so cute.
I know, it is. I think this is going to be one of the biggest games, because already just watching the 2 minutes of gameplay, I want to play it. And I think for me personally, that very rarely happens, especially for bigger games. I'm never like, oh, I just want to play this right now. I am really, what's the word I'm looking for? Not reserved, but skeptical, I suppose.
Well, you're the type of person that you don't love anything until you play it and you figure out that it's good.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just have an open mind, but it's an open critical mind.
I'm very critical.
Yes.
I think just my standards are so high for games, and because they're so expensive, I don't want to waste my money. But this, I think I'm probably going to pre-order this, because it looks like it takes all of my boxes.
Sophia pre-ordering a game?
I say that, I'm definitely not going to pre-order it, because I've got no money. But I'd like to, theoretically.
You are trash. Well, I'm looking forward to giving this a shot, too. I think the artistic style is very nice. What console are you picking it up for, though?
I think PC, if it's available on Steam. This looks like a PC game for me.
Yeah, it's going to be on Steam. I'm probably going to get it on Switch, because if it's a puzzle-based game, it'd be fun to do some puzzles while traveling.
It does look nice for Switch, but I do worry about that small screen.
Well, I think it'll be fine. I'm looking forward to plus, I could put it on the TV if I don't want it too small.
That's true. I don't really like putting Switch on TV. I don't know why. There's no reason for it. I just don't really do it.
Well, Sophia, speaking of games that can be a big hit, why don't we talk about a game that is a big hit? And that is Final Fantasy VII. This game has been released this past Friday, and it's getting fairly good reviews. I pulled up a GameSpot article that just has a review roundup from different sites. So GameSpot themselves gave it a 10 out of 10. Screen Rant gave it a 5 out of 5. Twinfinite, 4.5 out of 5. Games Radar, same score. And they're getting a pretty good reception overall. And I have been playing it, and I'm kind of enjoying myself as well.
I think we can go more into it later when we talk about the games we've been playing. But what do you think about it so far?
I think it's a good game overall. The characters I'm starting to like. I have one complaint about one character, which I think, I don't know, it was this one character named Barrett. He's an African-American man, but they made him a little bit of a stereotype that I did not like. He's like big, muscular, big, and he has like that gruff and tough voice, and he speaks with like a whole bunch of lingo that I feel like nobody speaks anymore.
Is it outdated, or is it just...
Well, here's the thing. This character, this is a remake, so this game was made forever ago, and they're just trying to rehash it and make it better. So I think this was adopted from the original game, and they just decided to expand upon it, and it just turned into a little bit of a... maybe a little too much. I feel like they could have toned down his... stereotypeness. How would I phrase this?
No, yeah, I do know what you mean. I think especially for these remastered games, I do notice that a lot, where especially I notice sexism a lot, especially with female main characters, where I'm just
yeah,
like, what game were we? Resident Evil, the demo.
Which one? The third Resident
the
Evil?
The third one, yeah.
Which part? The part where Carlos...
Just the way they talk to her in the train, and then sometimes the dialogue they're like, oh, a tall glass of water, like, you can put out a fire. And I'm just like, oh my god, that's so cringy.
Oh yeah, but that's part of the remake now. If you played the full version, they actually play with that a little bit because they're aware that things were a little sexist. So Jill actually has a lot of good comebacks now. There's this one part, in the game where he's talking about Nemesis and he goes, wow, he doesn't give up on who he wants, like, blah, blah, blah. Don't you like that in a man? And then she goes, no, thanks. He's all yours. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, he's like, oh, okay. She's not down to play around. This, okay, cool. But, like, there's a lot of other parts of the game where he says, like, flirtatious things towards her and she shuts him down.
I do. That's the thing, though. I guess when I play, it just brings me out of the world where it takes me moments to be like, oh my god, they just said that.
Sophia, I really want you to play the first Resident Evil game just because the dialogue, like the original, not the remake, not the remastered, the original that came out for PlayStation, the dialogue is so bad that it's like one of the first internet memes. Like one of the guys, when Jill almost gets crushed by some moving walls or something, he goes, wow, you could have been a Jill sandwich. and like
there's, oh, no, I don't want to play it.
And there's like other just bad dialogue. They call her the master of unlocking, so that's like just something that carries over for any other game she's in. It they'll be like, Jill, the master of unlocking. They'll just throw it in there because it was obvious that the dialogue was translated horribly from Japanese and they just didn't do it right.
Well, speaking of new games, let's talk about Grounded.
Oh, I'm not too interested in this.
Are you not? Really?
No, not too much. I don't like a lot of multiplayer games anyway. Like, Apex is the first multiplayer shooter game that I've actually ever liked in my life. I don't know.
Let me go into it.
Yeah, go into it. Maybe you can convince me.
I'm going to convince you. This is the new Convincing Chris segment.
Yeah.
Grounded is a co-op survival game where you're a tiny person in a big garden. Kind of like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which they mention a lot in their summaries, and anytime I read anything, they're like, so this is pretty much Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And I'm like, great, please keep mentioning how your idea is not original. But anyway, I'm going to quote a little bit from the trailer because it just sounded really awesome. You may find some strange things while looking around. I'm not sure who put them there or what they want. What I do know is that they're watching. Which is like, it's just so ominous. I put down, Chris, I can't wait to be tiny and survive with you, but I guess we're not, because you're not going to get this game.
Well, how much is it going to be released for?
They haven't come out with that yet. But this is what we do know. You're small, you're in a garden, you have a robot pal to help you, and it's single or multiplayer, which might help you, because then it just becomes a survival game. And it has a plot. Which I love. I need plot to be interested. So if this has a plot, I'm even more down.
Yeah, I would need a plot too if in this type of game. Maybe I'll give it a shot depending on how much it is when it releases. But this isn't a game I'm going to be, oh my god, I can't wait to play, you know?
I do know what you mean. I'm not as keen as The Last Campfire, which we just talked about.
Yeah, like that looks like, that's something that like the moment it releases, I might pick up.
Yeah, see, and it's coming out around the same time. This one is July 28th. So if it's choosing between them, I know which one I'm going to pick. But it's going to be early access on either Steam, or if you're an Xbox Ultimate member, you can try it out. So I might, because I'm already a Game Pass member, I might just up my subscription for a month when it comes out, give it a try, see if I like it, that sort of thing. And that might be worth it. And then we can kind of play together.
Yeah, I'll give it a try. Again, I just never get into like these types of games, but I will gladly give it a try for you if you want to give it the multiplayer function a shot.
I think because we're always looking for new multiplayer games to play together. So I think this could be the one where it seems quite easy to play together and it has a plot, kind of ticks up all our boxes. It's not an RPG, which I know you don't really like.
I like RPGs. I just don't like things like League of Legends and... what is the other one? Dota? I don't like those things. Final Fantasy is a JRPG. Like, I like RPGs. But anyway, Sophia, I think we should take a quick break and then go into that newer segment we were working on where we talk about Game Pass as a whole, new games, what games we've been playing, and maybe get into that a little bit. How do you feel about that?
That sounds good.
Okay, so we will be right back after this. And we're back, Sophia. So are you excited about this newer segment that you've been workshopping for a while?
I am excited because I have a lot of notes and I've been trying out a few Xbox games, which I want to talk about.
Yes, I've currently been playing a game that's on Game Pass right now, so I'm excited to talk about that. And I'm really just looking forward to the info that you're bringing to the table for this segment.
So, new games for console right now are Alabastia Chronicles, which is a retro-style indie RPG. There's also Journey to the Savage Planet, which is an adventure game where you explore a new planet, which I've been playing a lot. We can go into that later. PC gamers are also getting the Alabastia Chronicles. Football Manager 2020, Mist Over, Stranger Things 3, and Overcooked 2, which is a big one.
Oh, that's cool. A lot of people are excited about Overcooked.
I think it's funny because when I had PC and not Xbox, I think I was missing a lot of games on the Xbox Game Pass. But now that I have Xbox Game Pass only, it seems they're adding more on the PC than they are to Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, you're right. And it's good because I think Microsoft is going that games of service route more than let's sell people an Xbox. So they're making all these games like available to people on PC as well. And they're going to be getting a lot more subscriptions, a lot more accessibility overall to the games that people have been wanting to play. And let's just say this is making me play my consoles less and less, because other than Final Fantasy yesterday, I have not touched my game consoles in the longest because all the games I was playing was off my PC.
And you're also relatively new to PC too, right? So, which is funny that it's become such a quick transition.
Well, yeah, it's just easier at the end of the day to like record footage from the PC as opposed to using my capture card and routing it to the PC from a console and stuff like that. So overall, it's just a little bit easier if I want to stream or if I want to edit or make something. I just use the PC for it. But yeah, this is cool. I'm excited. I'm considering giving this a try, like the PC subscription.
Yeah, I think this is going to get more Ultimate members. Because I couldn't really think of when I was changing my subscription, I couldn't really figure out a reason why I would keep both, especially because obviously I'm not going anywhere. So it's not like I'm going to bring my PC to someone else's house or anything. I'm always going to be with my Xbox. So I couldn't think of a reason why to keep the PC subscription. But now I'm like, oh, why didn't I keep that? Because I'm missing out on a lot of games. I want to play Overcooked.
I'm excited for the people who have been looking forward to this type of stuff. It's going to be fun.
Talking about Ultimate members, they're also getting a few free days of play. Gears 5, April 6th to April 12th is going to be available for a few free days. And Elder Scrolls Online, which is going to be available April 1st to April 13th, which is tomorrow. So we're a bit late on that. But if you haven't already, you might have a day to try it.
Yeah, depending on when you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So what games have you been playing on Game Pass?
I've been playing Journey to the Savage Planet. It's pretty good. I'm gonna be honest, it's pretty good. And you can play multiplayer online. So if you're going to change your subscription, it's definitely a game we should try to play together.
Oh, that's good. And you're enjoying it overall? Like, you have no specific critiques about it?
I'm finding it quite challenging. But I don't know if that's because I'm just a bad at playing this game, or I think it feels a little bit unfinished where it needs a map. It really needs a map because it doesn't have one and I get super lost. But also I keep forgetting that I have a goal. So I'll just be wandering around and then I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm like, oh yeah, like this, I'm supposed to be gathering this thing. And I completely forgot because I got sidetracked by like three different animals and I found a new route, which is good. But also I'm like, what goal should I be finishing now? Like, because sometimes they give you some that you're not ready for, and then I kept dying, and then I kind of wandered around and figured some other stuff out, and then I came back and I did it. So good and bad, I think.
Yeah, you're making it work. That's the point of the segment, to give things a try and figure out if we like them or not.
I think it's definitely worth a try, but it's not going to be your favorite game. It reminds me a lot of Outer Worlds.
Gotcha.
But Outer Worlds is better. You know what I mean? It's like a less good Outer Worlds.
A less good Outer Worlds.
It is. I mean, because Outer Worlds, the issue was you didn't get enough time to explore the world, I felt like. I wanted more
lore and content.
I just wanted to take some time to kind of walk around this new planet because they looked really cool. So this, you do, the whole point of the game is to wander around and look at the aliens and scan this and scan that. But this time there's less plot and kind of motivation to finish it.
Gotcha. Well, in that case, it sounds like something I would play around with, but I wouldn't dedicate too much time to, like you're saying. Like, it's not...
Exactly, yeah. You can finish it in like 4 hours because that's one of the achievements, which is crazy. So, you know, it doesn't sound like if you do it right, it doesn't sound like you need a lot of time.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, maybe it's something people might want to check out. But speaking of a game that people might definitely want to check out if they haven't done so already, guess what game I've been playing?
Final Fantasy VII?
No, I'm talking about Game Pass.
Oh, what game have you been playing?
So, I decided to play Bayonetta, the original, because...
Yes, how was that?
This game has been released for forever, and I started playing on an Xbox, and this is the interesting part. I ended up re-downloading it on Switch and switching off to there. I found it a lot easier to pick up and play a couple, like, not a couple levels, but, like, there's segments of this game, so I found it very easy to just sit down, play, like, a small segment of the game, and then put it down and then come back and play again later, as opposed to dedicating hours or most of my time to playing this game throughout. That being said, I see why the game is so popular. The gameplay, the mechanics, it just feels right. It feels good overall. It's obviously like a hack and slash kind of situation where you're just like, you're beating the crud out of angels and monsters and stuff like that as Bayonetta. The story is quite interesting. I'm still like a little more than halfway through, and I'm pretty sure I've heard how this game ends, but I'm enjoying it rather, yeah, I'm enjoying it thoroughly, to be honest.
That sounds good, because I haven't tried it, so that may be something I need to pick up later.
Yeah, definitely give it a shot, especially if it's on Game Pass. Like, give it a shot, and if you like it, you could probably knock it out all through Xbox. I just know I'm doing a million things all the time, so I figured it'd be better to finish up on the Switch.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So now that we talked about Game Pass, why don't we switch over to our final segment where we just talk about the games we're playing in general.
See you there.
All right. We'll see you there. Okay, Sophia. So let's wrap this puppy up. We are now going to talk about the games we've been playing, which I have a few that I want to talk about, including Final Fantasy VII, and I know you have a couple, right?
Not really. We'll get into that. I've had an interesting time of trying out games.
Okay, well, how about I'll start off first, and we'll talk about Final Fantasy, and then I'll toss it back over to you.
Sounds good.
Okay, so Final Fantasy. If I had to give this a number rating, I would say... And this is just so far, because obviously I have not completed the 40-hour campaign that is Final Fantasy VII Remake. But so far, I think I'd give it like an 8 or a 9. It's very good. The story so far has me captivated. I'm still left with a million questions trying to figure out what the heck is going on. I'm enjoying most of my time getting to know the characters. The combat itself feels good. There's one thing that bothers the crap out of me. I never thought I'd play a game where it feels like you need a jump button but don't have one. Like, there's just no option to jump. Like, if an enemy's in the sky and you click, like, the button to, like, use your sword or something, your character automatically jumps. Or if you go to an area that needs you to, like, climb up a ladder or jump over something, you click a button and then does it automatically for you. But you cannot jump in battle by your own, like, if you want to.
That's That's pretty weird because I feel like I can't really think of a game that I haven't been able to jump recently.
The only game that I was thinking, like, I could think of in my head that doesn't let me jump that I feel like should let me jump is Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, where mm-hmm. that was another situation. You got to a ledge, it automatically made you jump. Yeah. But, like, when you're fighting monsters and stuff, you were not able to voluntarily do that action. But, yeah, other than that, very, very captivating. The menus are a little confusing, but that's mostly because I don't play Final Fantasy games like that, like a lot of other people do. But there's an upgrade system. There's, like, you level up, and as you level up, your armor, not your armor, your weapons level up as well. And then there's these things called materia, where if you input them in your armor or your weapon, they grant you special magic powers. So right now I have, like, an assess materia on, which basically just assesses any enemies that I, like, use it on and tells me, like, their weakness or what a little bit about them, just so I can try to figure out how to beat them. And I have a fire materia, so obviously fire spells, and I think a healing materia, so I can heal my people in my party. It's fun. I like it.
Does it make you want to play more Final Fantasy games?
Well, I was a fan. I am a late fan to the series because I played Final Fantasy 15, and it was so weird because that's another game that I bought twice. I bought it on PlayStation. I didn't finish it on PlayStation. Then I bought it on Xbox, and then I beat the whole thing on Xbox in, like, a couple weeks, and I love it. Like, that one is another good game. I think from this point on, I will be a Final Fantasy fan, especially more so than, like, Kingdom Hearts, because Kingdom Hearts has a very similar... They're both initially created around the same time by, like, similar people. I don't remember the full backstory on that, but I think I prefer Final Fantasy to Kingdom Hearts in this situation.
Nice. I need to try some Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's fun. The characters are very, like you learn a lot about the characters, and it's not, and obviously this remake is actually not the full remake of the game. This whole game is just one portion of the original game, and I think they really use that time to develop characters and let you get to know people, and I appreciate that. Like, I would love to leave Midgar, the area that you are, just to, like, see how things progress. But right now I'm having a fun ride just playing the game throughout. What about you? What have you been playing?
Well, I don't think I've been playing much of note. I've been trying to play some new stuff, but I just can't really get into anything other than Journey to the Savage Planet. I tried some Animal Crossing, which was pretty good. There's still eggs, which is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
We did some Brawlhalla. That's pretty okay.
Oh, you didn't like that. Don't lie. You didn't like it at all. I liked it.
No, it was okay. It was good to pass, like, half an hour, but there's just nothing to it. It's free, though, to be fair, which is, it feels
like, well, Brawlhalla feels like Super Smash Bros. For people who play it, because you don't play Super Smash Bros. So it's fun. See,
I don't like those types of games. I just find them boring.
Yeah, no, I think it's fun. I enjoyed it, and I enjoy Smash Bros. So if you like Smash Bros., you probably will like Brawlhalla.
I've been playing some Detroit Become Human again, because I'm trying to get that perfect ending. But I've already talked about that, so I don't think there's much left to talk about, really.
Oh, well, I have one more thing to talk about, but other than that, I think that'll be it. So the last game that I've been playing has been replaying a Resident Evil 3, because I am now trying to write a review for it, and I need to capture gameplay for my review. So I've been playing that, and I found that the second time around, things are a lot easier, and I'm getting through things faster. The one thing that I still cannot do for the life of me is that stupid dodge mechanic. It just won't work. I just can't do it. Like, I got attacked by, like, 3 or 4 zombies consecutively because they all got me in a corner and I could not dodge a single one.
I'm with you. I cannot use dodge in any game, and it's just, I just can't do it. It's just against my brain.
I don't know what that's about. Like, I don't know if it probably is me, but it just, and I haven't really heard many people complain about this online, so it might just be me. But
you're like, it's probably me, but I want to blame the game.
Yeah, but my thing is, I don't see, like, there should be some kind of indicator when they're like, this is, like, on the screen where it shows you, like, you could dodge at this time. Like, I shouldn't
that would be good.
Yeah, because here's the thing. The zombies will approach you, and then you'll think they're about to, like, pounce at you, and then you click the dodge button, and then they just kind of, like, move back and then pounce on you, or like, they don't do at all what you think they're going to do, so then you click the dodge button beforehand, and then you obviously didn't do it properly because they didn't attack you, and then because you're still, like, there's still a few frames after that where, like, you're quote-unquote vulnerable, and then they grab you. So, I don't know. I think it's something that could be improved, but that's just me.
But overall, you like it.
Yeah, love the game. Obviously, I wouldn't be trying to write a review if I felt strongly about it the other way, I probably would write a review too, because I would want people to know if it was a bad game. But yeah, I'm putting in the effort. I only have the intro done, and I have like a paragraph or two written, but I'm going to try to get some of that, more of that done today, and then hopefully have it edited and posted by like next weekend.
So nice, we'll catch it then.
Yeah, I'm excited. But yeah, is there anything else you want to talk about, Sophia? Anything exciting? Any last minute thoughts?
I can't think of anything. How about you?
I'm all set. So if that's the case, thank you guys so much for listening. We do appreciate it as always. If you ever want to reach out to any of us, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms. We are at The Pixels Podcast on Instagram, at The Pixels Podcast on Twitter, at The Pixels Podcast Tumblr, and Facebook. We also do have a private group. Feel free to add yourself. It's obviously The Pixels Podcast. And if you want to see me stream, I stream every Tuesday, Thursday, and occasionally Saturdays. Anything you want to plug, Sophia?
You already got my Tumblr and the Twitter, so that's all of them.
All right. So we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.